Quorum being present, I'd like to call the pre-council meeting of Columbia City Council to order. We do have two items that are open to the public, and then we do have a closed motion for personnel reasons. So we have seven pre-council meetings coming up beginning on the August 16th meeting, and the city manager has left those open for us to consider what we want to discuss there. And in some of our discussions as part of the city manager search process, there are some key deadlines there that Mr. Pitzer has proposed. We try to use, given our travel schedules, as much of those pre-council meetings as possible to try to accomplish some of those goals. And so you see the potential pre-council topics that are there, and we can discuss each of those one-on-one, if you will. But let me make a suggestion here for the August 16th pre-council meeting to discuss labor negotiations. We need about 15 to 45 minutes at that meeting. I'd like to keep all 2 hours of the September 7th meeting available to discuss the city manager search process. And when we did this 2 years ago, we consumed about 2 hours and 20 minutes. So 2 hours may not be enough, but I'd rather do it at that September 7th meeting than try to schedule us again in between council meetings to have more than, to have a 3 hour discussion, if that makes sense. For September 20th, we need to have a closed meeting for sealed bids and related documents on a contracting issue. Beyond that, that's kind of where my recommendation stopped, and we can kind of discuss where we want to be there. If we have substantial budget amendments, do we want to try to go over those budget amendments in a pre-council meeting, or take the so we have to vote on the budget at September 20th? Is it better to take those budget amendments at the September 7th meeting? So that gives us the August 16th for public input at September 7th, and then we can have all the budget amendments there for discussion, let them lay on the table for a vote on September 20th, but do that in the regular meeting of the September 7th meeting, if that makes sense. We will need maybe some additional time on October 4th for city manager search process, if not the 18th. So again, we don't have to plan out the rest of our year here, but I think there are some milestones that we could at least get through October here and give staff time to prepare for those other meetings. Mr. Scala.
Yeah, just a couple comments. One, I think it's always a good idea to do this in public session if we have amendments, because then the public gets a chance to participate and so on and so forth.
They'd be public,
so,
it just matter whether it's pre-council
right,
or regular.
Right,
meeting. Sorry.
Right. But my preference would be during the council meeting itself. I mean, we always have the advice from the city manager to get amendments out as early as possible. We seldom ever really accomplish that, but some of us try, and then ultimately we systematically go through and try and decide on the amendments, obviously before the final discussions are done. But I think maybe we have to start as early as possible if that gives us time, and I'd prefer to do it in the context of a regular city council meeting rather than a work session.
Mr. Pitzer, any suggestions?
Just on the 20th of September, we may want to reserve a little bit of time for a possible follow-up on the city manager search.
Okay.
If that's not going to be a full 2 hour.
I think that's a good idea. So we'll take the full 2 hours and have part of it closed. Well, probably all closed for either contract or personnel. And that gets us to October 4th. Ms. Bauer.
August 16th, I received, just as I think everyone else did, was a is a memorandum from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they outline some really helpful information about the CIP process and some questions going forward, which I know are not embedded in this year's document, but I wanted to ask if we could spend some of pre-council time on the 16th reviewing some of the information that was brought to Planning and Zoning about how the process works, how they're funded, as a way for both me to understand it as a council member, but also for members of the public to understand it.
And I'm sorry, the process of what?
CIP.
Oh.
I'm referring to Sarah Lowe's memo of July 23rd, where she outlines some really helpful questions and provides a summary of what they looked at and heard at their two work sessions. And I'm not suggesting it has to be as comprehensive as that, but there's some good information in there about how projects are funded and the intersection between those and bonds that I think I would appreciate having information about.
How much time do you think you would need on the conservative side?
What time are we looking at, an hour on the 16th? Or
I would
more
prefer
than that?
To keep that one to an hour, and the deputy city manager needs, if we gave him 30 minutes, would 30 minutes be adequate?
I think so. I could narrow down and send to the city manager the things that I thought were particularly helpful in what she described.
Any objection to that? I think it's timely if we're talking about
sure.
capital improvement projects.
Yeah.
Okay.
It probably would be a good idea to emphasize that letter, that information from the Planning and Zoning Commission is in the packet, and it is available to the public if they want to take a look at that. We got it during in our packet of information, and it's available.
I'm not
saying we shouldn't. I think we should.
What I'm referring to, Mr. Scala, is the paragraph where they talked about the kinds of information they received that was helpful to them about how projects were funded, and that in particular is something that I get a lot of questions about.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
And then we should also leave the first meeting in November for the city manager process as well. Ms. Peters.
I think if we need to have, if we need Ms. Fowler's CIP planning and then also the labor negotiations, I think we're going to need more than an hour to do that, to do justice to either one. Otherwise, we're going to be really rushing both of them. So I would think we might want to do a two-hour meeting.
Everyone okay with 2 hours? You want 5:30 instead?
That would be 90 minutes, I believe.
Yeah, that would help, I think.
I think 90 minutes would be enough?
I think that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's do that. And then would everybody respond? We need to have a special meeting the week of September 13th. Would everyone look at your calendars and get back with the city clerk for a date that works that week, an all-day meeting or a closed session relating to personnel? Doesn't have to be now, but the sooner we can do that, the better.
And what week is that you need?
That'd be September 13th.
Okay.
It's the non-council week in between.
Okay.
Thank you.
Labor Day. And that labor, I will point out, September 7th is a Tuesday because of
yes.
Labor Day holiday on Monday. We also lack a group photo that includes the first and second ward council members. Would you want to take one of those meetings for a photo, and you would think a group photo would take less than that. It just takes time to set it up and stand here. And would you want to do that with our masks? I think it's an interesting historical chronicle. Ms. Fowler?
So, Mayor, if we were to do a group photo, particularly given where we're headed and the wearing masks indoors, I would recommend that we do that with masks.
You have a preference on when to do that? Do you want to come? You all have had individual photos, right? We just lack a group photo.
Those two don't have a professional individual shot.
We should do those too.
They were done by the city.
Why don't we do that?
Well, I thought those were very professional.
Yeah, no, like a photographer, but if you guys are good with those.
And the other ones used the year before. I mean, essentially, they were the other folks who didn't get it.
Right, yeah.
It'll take about 30 minutes for us to get everything done for that.
For picture?
Yes.
Oh, for a good picture.
For everybody's picture.
Well, it doesn't matter if we're smiling or not. We'll be wearing masks.
Well, but it shows in your eyes.
What's your all's preference on that? Do you want to, so that being said, do you want to start that August 16th at 5 o'clock and have the first two come early, the rest of us come right before 5:30 and do the group photo?
No.
No? All right.
How about in cooler weather?
All right, let's push that off till October.
Thank you.
We'll revisit that or let the clerk proceed. Anything else? We'll also be in an all-day budget work session on August 19th, I'll point out to you. All right. That being done on scheduling, Mr. City Manager, you had an item relating to the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, so I had questions. I had a meeting with Councilperson Fowler, Councilperson Wehner, and Mr. Thomas, Councilperson Thomas. Monday, I believe it was, we talked, and it was about the American Rescue Plan Act and how we would go forward with the citizen engagement, and wanted to know my thoughts on using the plan that the health department used when they went through accreditation, I believe it was, and what we used in our strategic plan. And so they felt like health would be the right department to lead that. And so I've asked Stephanie to come talk a little bit about it, where we're at today, but she's, you know, fairly busy with COVID and those things. And so I just want her to kind of talk a minute about Ian's question, or Mr. Thomas's question, about can she do it, and you know, what is her thoughts on it.
Good evening. Just to give a little bit of background, what's being referred to is we do a community health assessment and community health improvement plan every 5 years. Our first one that we did in 2013, using a process called MAP, includes what they call community themes and strengths as one of the assessments. I mean, that's where we incorporated a lot of citizen feedback. We did that both in 2013 and 2018. In 2018, I would say that we applied what we learned from 2013. To improve that process. So in both 2013 and 2018, we did a online and paper survey that went out, and we had probably about 1,600 to 1,700 responses from people within the city, well, Boone County, because we were doing a countywide assessment, obviously. But we had a good strategy for how we got that information out, working with our partners and stakeholders to reach out to their lists of people. Plus, we worked with the university, and for $50, they sent to every single staff, faculty, you know, student on the MU campus for us. So that was one aspect of our work. And then the other was we did focus groups. In 2013, we focused on looking geographically. So we did one in each ward, and then we did one in Northern Boone County and one in Southern Boone County. They were good. We had about 15 people per focus group. Council members did help us to recruit, as well as other partners that we have. And we were trying to get some diversity in those groups. We really were not that successful in having diverse groups that we wanted. So we changed our process in 2018, and we did. We thought about who was it that we did not hear from. So we had a focus group with seniors. We had a focus group with people with disabilities. We had a focus group of people that were minorities, students. So anyway, we had multiple focus groups, but we really targeted that effort towards them. Again, heavy leaning on our partners to help us identify the right people to come to those groups. It's very time consuming. It's not something you just do in a month. We probably spent a better part of 6 months working on that. Internally, there was a team of seven of us. It was led by Rebecca Roslett, our senior planner, this last time, and our senior planning staff, plus others in the department. And I, and you know, we've got some examples, not only in health, but I mean, think about the climate action planning process, right? That had a really good community engagement piece. Our planning department does neighborhood planning, also excellent at community engagement. Parks and Rec does the same. So we do have good processes in many cases in the city, so we have some capacity. It's just a matter of how you want to do it. And like I said, I told John that we just don't have the capacity to lead this now. You know, we were happy to provide information and advise what we did. I don't know that ours is the right one. It just worked for what we were trying to do. I would say that if you were really considering something like this and you were not doing it internally, that you would think about bringing somebody in that is, that can not only do the planning aspect, but the implementation, the analysis, because that is the most labor intensive. To take that qualitative data and make sense of it is incredibly labor intensive, and then prepare an actual report for you. So somebody that's going to help you through the whole process would probably be very beneficial, because I think people don't understand exactly how much it takes. I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Weiner?
In doing some research after that discussion, the city of Durham, North Carolina, which is not a one-to-one comparison for us, but they used $100,000 of the American Rescue Plan funds to hire 4 organizations in the community to do a similar process, realizing that capacity was always going to be an issue. And I actually drew up a potential timeline or something based off of the MAP process, the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, I think is the full acronym, that combines the Durham piece and this MAP process and kind of modifies it and sees, you know, what could be possible. So happy to send that to you if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So are we talking about starting this, however we do this, after the 1st of October? Is that the plan?
In the timeline that I drew up, which again is not formal, it's me brainstorming, that's what I started with.
Okay.
Just a comment, just in reaction to some of the comments that Ms. Browning made, I'm inclined, given the amount of work that's certainly involved in the budget, although if we take this up and we can get ready for it, but if we take it up in October, it's still going to be a large task. And I'm inclined to take her suggestion or favor her suggestion that it may be something that we really want to consider in terms of an outside consultant doing this with the analysis and the reporting process, so that we can hit the ground running when it comes to the sophistication of some of the ARPA funds. I've gotten some sources from, you know, NLC and so on, and other people have different sources from what they've read and what they're offering and so on. We can bring all of that together, but the public outreach piece, which is very important, I think is something that we have learned some lessons with, but splitting this up between several departments and so on within the context of the staff here, I think we would be well served to consider a consultant.
So if we go the outside consultant route, what can you give us an idea of the timeline that we're looking at, kind of from start to finish?
I mean, it's totally hypothetical at this point. If I remember correctly, the MAP process was anywhere from 16 to 18 months, something like that. Stephanie's shaking her head, more than that. So it would have to be severely modified for us to do something similar and with a consultant in place. The timeline that I put together, I think, was a 6 or 8 month process. And I don't even know if that gets at what we would want to achieve.
I guess that's, you know, my biggest concern is, you know, that timeline. I mean, there's a clock on spending the money, and even some of these ideas and processes that we've talked about will take quite a bit of time to figure out how to operationalize and and get to the point where we're ready to spend money. And so 6 months on top of, you know, months, it starts to add up.
I would like to look at Councilperson Wehner's timeline and do some reading and see how the Durham model is working. But I've heard like five things in this conversation that I wanted to spend time reading about. So I think these are all really good ideas to help us get to where we want to be, which is we want to hear from the people who are most affected and most in need. And I appreciate that I have lots to follow up with. I have homework to do now, and I'm pleased to have that focus.
Any further discussion? I mean, I'm concerned about the timeline. When we have a built-in input process with our budget, we'll have three public hearings after the budget is introduced tonight, and we spend a lot of time talking about the process providing input instead of actually providing the input that we want everybody to give us. And we know there are certain buckets for how to spend this money. I'm still inclined to use the budget process to help hone that. And if we need some additional public input on the best model for those things. But I mean, if this throws us into next year and then those recommendations come back before we direct staff to proceed with spending that money, the very people we're trying to help continue to wait, and the projects that we're trying to get off the ground in the four-year allocation are now delayed by 12 months.
Well, some of the funds are going to are not even going to be half of the funds are not even going to be dispersed until next year. So this may help us at least pick up the pieces, if you will. We can implement some of the issues that we can get public input through the budget process and some of the decisions that we make to move forward on the $12.5 million piece that we have, and in the background also do some of this to get us ready to help with some of the more informed decisions about other options, if you will, in the coming year. So I think we may be able to take kind of a compromise position and get this started. Some of this started in October, and yet still have the capacity to act on some of the public input that we have during the budget process for the funds that are already here.
So of the 12.5 million we have, or the 25 million in the 4 years, we had talked about having them in different buckets, is my understanding, some for helping our underserved, some to try and work on some transformational projects and things like that. So are we going to decide what buckets we have specifically before we ask for this input, or are we asking for people to give input on whatever it is they want us to use the 25 million for, and it can be skewed in any direction? I mean, is this an open form, or is this these are the buckets we're talking about, and how do you think we should spend these buckets?
Well, I think to have talked about the qualitative input, to have the quantitative, or the I got that backwards, the qualitative input, I think the public needs to be informed as the parameters around this money and how it can be spent for the unsheltered, for stormwater, for broadband, for other, you know, economic impacts related to the pandemic. And so part of that is prescribed for us, but I think council should decide, you know, how much we're allocating for these portions to then go develop the plan that meets those needs.
And so then the public input we're asking for is based on those needs?
I think it should be.
Is that what you all recommend? I mean, is that what you all understand? Because I have this feeling we're having two different conversations.
I think we still are. May I be recognized, Mayor? Okay. I am not a person who was adversely affected by COVID, and while I spend my weekend time talking with people who are more connected to those who are adversely affected, I don't want us to make a commitment in our budget for how much money we're going to put anywhere. We know that we need to ask any number of people, including those who are immediately affected and those who attempt to help them through our organizations, exactly what the needs are, how effective our current, our previous and current efforts have been. So I'm not in favor of using the budget process to allocate the money among different buckets, if we're going to use that analogy. I am in favor of us acknowledging in the budget that we received this money and we're expecting another 12 and a half, and then to move after the budget to seeking that input, because I don't believe that we have a good analysis of what our needs are. And so for us to limit money in certain categories without knowing what our needs are feels really inappropriate given the profound nature of what has happened to folks who are low income and who are otherwise adversely affected.
I mean, it seems like we've had this discussion twice and we've made this decision twice.
But I don't think we've been very clear about how we've made this decision, it seems like, because we don't seem to all be on the same page.
We are not on the same page.
Well, a majority of us were on the same page at our last meeting.
No, I don't believe that was true either.
Well, we thought four of us were, but apparently that's not true.
Well, I don't know about the apparently not true bit or how many people were on. What I'm trying to do is craft something that could satisfy a majority of folks in this whole thing. And I think some of this may be a function of, I do think it's important that we identify some sort of framework, just like the framework that we got in terms of what can you spend this money on. I don't think it's necessary to prescribe, to have some number assigned to a bucket beyond which you cannot spend or to the limit to which you can spend. I think that that's a decision that we may well want to wait a bit to find out what some of this input is all about. So it's kind of a middle ground thing. I don't think we ought to specify the framework and the bucket per se and just take that up in the budget discussion, but I also don't think that we ought to leave this open-ended until such time as we have all the information that we think would be necessary in order to make these decisions. This is kind of a dynamic process, and some of these decisions are going to have to rely to budget decisions that the council makes during the budget process. With the information that we have, maybe we can augment that with this other process, if it's an outside consultant or whatnot, for the ensuing year, the out year that we have another disbursement coming. So I'm trying to get to a point where I can satisfy as many folks on this dais as possible.
Someone wants to make a motion, we can take a vote. Or we can work amongst ourselves and try to reach consensus.
I think we have some nice information that Councilperson Wehner brought to us and some suggestions we heard from Stephanie, and I think that we should spend some time and reflect and read on those.
Further discussion?
I take it that what that means, and I'm certainly open to that suggestion or that motion, if you will. I take it, though, that the heavy lifting and maybe the preparation for heavy lifting can go on right now, but the actual heavy lifting for this first disbursement is not going to occur until really in October. Is that an assumption that has we did kind of agree on that?
Twice.
I think we've agreed on that. I do think whatever Andrea has, if you would send it to us, or if it's here somewhere in my paperwork.
No, I just worked on it last night.
I would be interested in seeing what they did. But I don't think that we can start anything till October. And it doesn't sound like our current staff is able to do their jobs and add more things to this. And then the question is, how much do we need to... What exactly are we going to get out of this?
Any further discussion? I move the City Council of the City of Columbia immediately go into a closed meeting in conference room 1A, 1B of the City Hall to discuss the hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of a particular employee in a public governmental body where personal information about the employee is discussed or recorded pursuant to Section 610.021, Subsection 3 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment pursuant to Section 610.021, Subsection 13 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Is my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Scala. Ms. Wainer, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Scala votes aye. Mr. Thomas is absent. Mr. Pitzer?
Yes.
Dr. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Treese votes aye. Councilmember Fowler?
Yes.
We are in closed session.